Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
If you were listening to yesterday's show, you'll know we heard from some callers, dads, who got in contact and told us their story about the impact of going through a miscarriage with their partner. Some really powerful stories. Probably the first time for a lot of people, they told us afterwards, that they've shared that story, and particularly to share it publicly. And I came in this morning and there was quite a few emails from people. Many had got in touch or had texted in overnight as well, looking to share their own experience. So we thought we would create some time today to listen to people's experiences. Martin is with me on the line. Martin, have you and your partner been through a pregnancy loss?
Hi, Andrea. Yeah, we have. We lost Stephen 9 years ago. Every time I said something new, the waterworks coming. But we lost Stephen. It was 3 o'clock in the morning, midnight dash into the hospital. And we were told he had no heartbeat. He was 20 weeks and 2 days old. And I had to then go and tell our two kids who were in the waiting room. We were 7 and 8 at the time. It's not a good experience.
I'm very sorry, Martin, to hear what you've gone through. And take us maybe a little bit through, and in as much as you're willing to share. So you get into the hospital with your partner, you've heard this. And what was your experience from that point on then?
So I'm then torn between the kids who aren't allowed in, who are in the waiting room, I was 7 and 8, and trying to be there for Caroline to see what's going on. And it's a terrible situation to be in, obviously, but you try and do your best. And the nurse comes in and says, can't find a heartbeat. Well, it doesn't say that. It says, oh, we need to find different equipment and try that. And then get the doctor in, but they finally say, there's no heartbeat, we're sorry. We were actually scheduled the next day for a scan, and we went and had that, and that's where I found out it was a boy.
Take your time, Martin. Take your time.
I strangely felt proud at the time, because we have two girls already, and this was my son. But afterwards, because he was so small and so young, we didn't get a stillbirth cert, because the definition of a stillbirth was 24 weeks or 500 grams. So we've been fighting for the past 9 years to get Stephen recognised, because the state didn't recognise that my son existed.
So because he was 20 weeks, Martin, doesn't fall under the...
No, so he doesn't exist or didn't exist. They changed those rules a month ago to be 23 weeks or 400 grams. So we funny the call comes now, but we last Friday got his stillbirth cert. So he was finally recognised.
Just last week, Martin?
Just Friday. So it's kind of after this happens now, it's probably why I'm so emotional about it as well. He's finally been recognised, and we have a stillbirth cert from him.
And it's just completely coincidental that we're talking to you today, because you obviously heard the piece yesterday and some of the guys that were with us and the emails that came in afterwards. So you've been reliving all of this, you and your partner Caroline, then, since last Friday.
Yeah, so it's bittersweet. Obviously, it's great that he's finally recognised now, but the fact that it's taken so long is government way, but it's still, they've only just moved the goalposts. So my thoughts then go to what happens to the person who loses a baby at 22 weeks, 6 days and 399 grams. They're in the same situation we were. You're just outside the criteria, but the government doesn't recognise your baby.
And the importance of having that recognition, Martin, for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's even just for history. Like, we have four kids. We've had another daughter since. So we have four kids. If anybody asks us, that's what we tell them. And if somebody looks back at our family in the records, had we not gotten the stillbirth cert, Stephen wouldn't have been there. It's not just a piece of paper to us. It's just recognition that he existed. It's kind of, after the stillbirth, I kind of went into dad mode. So protected everybody, tried to do as much as I could for everybody else. And it wasn't till, I'll say about 2 years later, that it actually hit me. So it's kind of, I had kind of blocked it all off. And I keep saying, if somebody had given me a card and said, when you're ready to talk, call this number here, and somebody be ready to talk to you. Because it took me that long for it to actually hit me, because I had pushed it down and just was doing dad mode stuff, protecting everybody else, getting the kids through it, getting Caroline through it. And I keep saying that to myself. So anybody who's had a recent miscarriage, I'll tell them, I said this to one of the guys from the football team. But do what you have to do for the kids and the wife, but don't forget about yourself, because that's what dads will do, is they will push their own emotions aside to and push everybody else first. But it's still there and it has to be dealt with at some point.
Did anybody in the aftermath of this, Martin, from the medical world, you know, or any of the groups that you probably encountered, did anybody ever really sit you down or ask how you were?
We went to, Felicon were fantastic for us. They gave us the memory box at the time and advised us take lots of pictures. And it's the last thing we wanted to do at the time, but they're the most treasured pictures we have now. So there was always the option there, but men are terrible at talking. It's not something we naturally do. We'll go on, but there was never anything official as such. Like Felicon were the charities that did it, but there was never. I kind of went to the doctor one time and fell down, broke down in tears, and he referred me on then to somebody to talk to. But until you go and look for the help, it's not there. There's nobody to say, well, here, this is here, if and when you need it.
Just when you mentioned Felicon, Tony is with us too, Martin. And listen, thank you for sharing your story with us, because I know it's obviously particularly difficult for you and Caroline this week, and, you know, of all weeks to just actually have this conversation. But I do appreciate you sharing your story with us. Tony Owens from the charity Felicon is with us on the line as well. It's remarkable, Tony, the amount of people, you know, that got in touch overnight and actually said this is nearly one of the first times they've talked and shared their story with us.
Yeah, it can be amazing at times. Sometimes it's easier to have a conversation with a stranger, even though it's on the radio, than actually talk to our own close family and friends, because we feel like if we talk to them, we're just going to upset them, and we upset them and put them through it. Whereas, especially the dads, if we can bottle this all up, it'd be okay. And listen, the proof is out there that it's not okay. As Martin has said there, you can bottle it all up, but it'll come out. It'll eventually come out when it comes out another way. So it's having those tough conversations can be really hard. And as Martin said there, and for me, when we were going through, when we lost our son, if somebody did come up and say to me, hey, Tony, how are you doing? It was a deflection. I deflected away and says, don't ask about me, ask about Claire. Ask me how she's doing, because it's that reality of letting her in. Oh, I did lose my son as well. And that's what can be really hard.
Are men forgotten about in this? And whether it's, you know, stillbirth, as Martin mentioned, or through miscarriage at any point, like are the dads bystanders, as one father sort of described or put it to me yesterday?
Pretty much so. But listen, we'll never say that the mom isn't the most important person when all this happens. Of course she is. And then it's the dad and the siblings. But they're definitely pushed aside in a way. And sometimes, as I said, we can be the cause of that as well. But I will say to anybody out there listening, it's about having these tough conversations. It's about going and speaking to both mama and dad and saying, yes, I'm really sorry that this has happened. Is there anything that we can do with you? Or if you're asking about mom and say, well, listen, Martin, or listen, Tony, how are you feeling? How are you coping? Is there anything we can do for you? And I certainly didn't appreciate those people asking me at the time, because some did, thankfully. But on my healing journey, I soon realised that those conversations that those people had, or those simple questions that people asked me, was so important. And when I was ready to talk, I knew who I could go back and talk to.
Peter is on the line too, Tony. Peter, I believe this is something that you've been through as well.
Yeah, 6 times in total.
6 times, Peter?
Three different partners. Yeah. And like that, excluded. Exclusion is a word that I would feel is probably the one that comes first to mind, being excluded.
Excluded from the medical
excluded
process?
Excluded from the whole process. Excluded from any part of the process and any part of the healing journey afterwards are excluded from. It's just being left out, being considered unimportant or unfeeling. I think probably rather than unimportant, unfeel. You know that. Oh, what's it matter? It's just the guy.
And over the years.
Just to
state, if it needs to be stated, not at all taken away from that, or the physical,
no.
You know, the physical pain and the emotional turmoil that goes with that. I know many, many times on this show, if you're a regular listener or four regular listeners, they'll know we've talked to women on multiple occasions about the experience of this. But I suppose off the back of an email yesterday, that's kind of how we're talking about this today.
The thing is it's just like Martin said there about a fetus not being recognized as a person. Yet, like for two generations, people have been battling, or maybe more than two generations, people have been battling to get abortion rights in this country. And we were always told, oh, but that fetus is a person. That fetus is a child. Yet, if the fetus dies at any point, then it's not a child. I'm really, really happy to hear that Martin managed to make some movement in that sphere, but it's still obviously not complete. It's still not enough. I think if people ask for a certificate of non-birth, I think if they ask for it, it should be provided at whatever stage, once it has been medically ascertained that was a viable fetus.
You said, Martin, it has been changed recently, but it's now. Did you say it's now up to 20 weeks? Is that
23 weeks?
23 weeks
or 400 grams. So Stephen was only 20 weeks, but because his weight was 420, he was due the cert. But what we have been campaigning for, myself and Caroline, was, as was said there, we want a certificate of life. Basically, so when a baby has been, or pregnancy has been medically verified, you know yourself, if somebody has been told by the doctor you're having a baby, you're out buying stuff, you're planning for everything. If you lose the baby at any point after then, mentally, physically, everything still comes from there. So there should be some acknowledgement. And I know there's financial implications of the government for all that, but I don't care about all that. Mm-hmm. I just wanted acknowledgement from the government that my child existed. Like, that's simple. Like, as soon as you're told you have a baby, you're pregnant, your mind goes ahead. You're doing college courses. Like, you're planning out a whole life. So
everything's changed.
Just want acknowledgement of that. So again, if that was just from that, we have. there's a bill going through the Senate at the second stage for this exact thing. It's just the election and stuff.
But I was just going to ask, I wonder, you know, has it become, I don't want to say an election issue, but I do wonder, you know, when you're campaigning, has it been, or is it being mentioned at all by parties around the doors? I think we've got Niall with us too. Is Niall on the line from Cork? Yeah, how are you, Niall? You
good,
went
thanks.
Through something similar listening to Martin and Tony and Peter there today.
In 2008, 2013, I suppose we would have lost our baby to miscarriage. Similar to the lads, I suppose, as the father, kind of your main focus is, I suppose, support your wife and support her, and we've one child as well. So I suppose for me, the grief was different in so far as, I suppose, she physically felt the baby inside her. She had physical symptoms, but I suppose I didn't have that. It was 10 weeks, so it was early on in the pregnancy. I can see, yeah, definitely, I suppose fathers are treated differently in relation to, but I think society still hasn't, I don't know, has it come to terms with how to deal with someone who has lost a baby in this way. Like, I suppose some people feel it's hard to talk to.
Did we lose Niall? We'll try and get Niall back there if we can. Apologies about that, Niall. I don't know what has happened there, but bear with us, Niall, if you can, for a moment. Tony, you're still with us because, as I said, you're from the charity Felicon, and you support bereaved parents or really anybody affected by, the death or loss of a baby or at any point really around that time. To Martin's argument about this need, that it needs to be something that's passed in the Shannon and by government, is that something that Felicon too support?
Oh, absolutely. And Martin and Caroline have fought a courageous war on behalf of so many people. And Felicon have given their full support to them and weighed in on many occasions, whether that's talking to TDs and stuff, as we're saying, or talking to the medical profession. So we are fully behind that campaign. You know, as he says, once you become pregnant, where your wife tells you and you're just like, you've made those plans, and you know how quickly things can go awry. A healthy child being born is such a blessing, and sometimes we take it for granted. But when things go the opposite way, it's so difficult. And just getting back to Peter, I'm really sorry that Peter didn't have the support there. That should be considered, and this is, again, we speak to the medical profession now, and hopefully it's changing little by little. And they do an amazing job, by the way. But, we want the medical profession to include the dads, to speak to the dads, and we want our family and friends to speak to the dads and not speak to the mums. And, workplaces, if we have to go in and do a chat for them, and this is what that poor mum or dad coming back to work,
she can do that, yeah,
might need or might not need.
Yeah.
And it's just a way of just trying to break down the barriers, have these conversations, and support each other the best way we can. And listen, if anybody wants my number afterwards, you could.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that. We can put people in contact with you, or they'll be able to get in touch with you through too as well. I should say, sorry, Tony, through Felicon online, won't they, on the website?
If you go to the Felicon website, you can reach out to us there, because one of the things that we found for dads, there wasn't great support there, and that was one of the reasons that, listen, we thought that football was a great way of bonding people together, and we set up some football teams throughout the country, and it's just a way that dads can come down no matter what ability. Everybody's in the same boat, and they're there for the same reason, so nobody has to feel awkward or shy. And if you want to talk, you can talk.
You can,
if you don't want to talk,
yeah,
you don't have to talk. But it's available to any dads out there.
Just finally, Martin, you mentioned that you got the, was it, sorry, did you describe it as a certificate? What was the full name of the certificate you mentioned that you got last Friday?
Tommy, that was a stillbirth cert.
It was a stillbirth cert that you got. And then prior to that, there was another certificate, I think you mentioned that.
No, we had nothing before that.
No,
but we wanted.
You wanted, yeah. And what was it?
Certificate of life, yeah.
Certificate of life, sorry. That's the phrase, yeah, I was looking for. It would, to my mind, look, I'm not a medical professional and I've never been through anything like this, but it would seem like a relatively simple thing to do.
Yeah, it's too logical though. You can't be doing that.
Yeah.
It's something that, unless you go through it, you've no idea that it exists.
No.
It's the same as, we play for the football team for Felicon, I play for them as well, and it's the worst team that nobody wants to be on, but they're the best team, if you know what I mean. It's just the support that you get from the teammates. And even if you want to come down and just be around people who've been through the same as yourself and say nothing, the people just get great comfort even from that. And
it's not easy. And I really appreciate your time, Martin, and Peter as well. And I know Niall was only with us briefly, but and Tony there too. Really appreciate you sharing your stories with us today, because I think, you know, off the back of others talking yesterday and emails we got in, that's why we're talking about this again today, because just more people wanted to get in touch and wanted to share those stories. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. As Tony mentioned, you can get more information through Felicon's website. That's Tony Owens, Martin, Peter and Niall. And thank you for your time on the programme.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on Newstalk.